I feel so unworthy of what was done on my behalf. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And yet, God freely gives it to us. And in His Word, He says, freely you have received. And how does that finish? Freely give. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Spread it around. Let other people know. There's hope at the cross. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's no one other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. He loved us even while we were still dirty and stinky and smelly. And the best of what we had to offer was just not enough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. The wages, what we earn by our acts, is death according to the law of God. Our sin deserves punishment. But hallelujah. By the grace of God, Jesus gave Himself as the perfect sacrifice. He was the spotless lamb. He was Himself the sacrifice. And that blood that poured down, that dripped down that cross into the ground, was our salvation. And it's displayed to us. And it demands a response. When God speaks, when God acts, it demands a response. And so, in a sense, He has bridged the gap. And it says, I don't know if any of you have seen the Indiana Jones, and I don't remember which one it was, but he has to cross this chasm, this big ravine, right? And everything that is there tells him, cross this thing, but there's nothing that he can see until he takes that first step. And then as he takes that first step, even though it's invisible to him, he can see the way. And you may remember he takes some sand or stones and he kind of throws it out over there. And then to our eyes, we're able to see where he is to walk, you know. But that's kind of the way it is. God has bridged the gap, the chasm between us and himself. And he did all but the last little section, if you will. And he waits for us to take that step. Amen. And so the ball is proverbially in our court. And He's waiting for us to receive it, to say, yes, I receive the blood of Jesus as payment for my sin. That, friends, is the simplicity of the good news, of the gospel. That is the Bible in a few sentences. God bridging the gap through Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, firstborn Lamb, the only begotten of the Father, shedding His blood to wash our sin away. And now we stand before Him as white as snow. We get a lot of snow around here. It's hard to believe when it's 85 degrees out, but we get a lot of snow around here, and the wind just blows it and drifts it, and it really is beautiful. As long as you're not shoving it, it's beautiful. And you like that qualifying statement there, right? But it really is beautiful. And it's just pure white. Just pure. And that is the way our sin that was once black, has been washed and cleaned. Even though we ask. We did not ask. The love of the Father for mankind, for you and for me, though we did not deserve it, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Man, that's love. That's love like I've never known. I have a lot of love for my wife, and she has a lot of love for me. But there is no love like that kind of love. The Bible says that there is no greater love than this. That a man would lay down his life for his friend. In the Bible, Jesus, we were called his friends. And we've spoken about this before, haven't we? We were called his friends. We weren't just his subjects or his servants, where we have to do what he says we have to do, like robots. But he called us his friends. Family. The thing that's different about family and friends is family, like it or not, right? You're stuck with them. You're stuck with them, your blood. You can't change it no matter what you do. Not that you would want to, but sometimes you do. Friends, on the other hand, are handpicked. They're chosen. I want you to be near me, right? When we choose our friends, we pick people that we know are going to have our back or so. You know what I mean? You like spending time with them. We are called his friends. That takes it to a different level, doesn't it? And that scripture comes to my mind. And it says, to all who called on his name, to all who believed, he gave them the right to be called what? The children of God. Man, that is just awesome. That is just awesome. That just blows me away. You may or may not be familiar with this is like a scientific process with certain plants that you can graft in a different sort of different kind of plant that's roughly the same, and they kind of become one, like a grapevine. You can graft in different things to have a different product, okay? And in the same sense, we Gentiles, non-Jews, have been grafted into the vine. The Jewish race is God's chosen people, all right, through which we have found salvation, all right, through the lineage of the Jews. That's why they are so important, all right. God called Abraham and said, I got a place for you, my friend. I've got a place for you. And I want to bless all people through you. The whole earth I want to bless through you. Follow me. And he bids him, come follow me. I've got a land that I'm promising you. And I'm going to lead you there if you will only follow me and obey me. Friends, you know the blessing that awaits. Oh, forgive me, I've just overcome this morning. Do you know the blessing that awaits if we follow and we obey and we walk in obedience? blessings await. For I know the plans. And God just keeps bringing scriptures to my mind. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Hope. How many of us need hope today? How many of your family members, your children, your parents, how many of your friends need hope today? This world is hopeless. It's a hopeless place, and every day it gets worse and worse and worse. This world needs hope. And that hope is in Jesus. And God wants to bless you. Don't you think anything otherwise. God is on your side. God wants the very best for you. He adores you. Sometimes for us guys, it's hard to think, I don't want anybody adoring me. Really. You know what I mean? Just keep your distance. We'll do the kind of, hey, bro. Just won't get too close. But God is just like, did you ever see that picture? There's a picture. And in the picture, we see the back of what looks like Jesus. And it's up in the sky. Maybe you've seen it. And he's got his arms just wrapped right around this other one. And his face is just, he's just hugging on him. You ever been hugged on like that? Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, there are some that we know, maybe even some here today, that when we stand before the judgment seat of God the Almighty, and we're going to give our lecture, if you will, of why we deserve to be in heaven, just follow me for a moment. He's going to say, and even though we're saying, Lord, Lord, I did this for you. I spoke in tongues. I prophesied. I healed the sick. I did this. I helped the poor. And he's going to say, depart from me. Why? I never knew you. You're telling me you did all these things, but you did them not in my name, but whose? Your own. Your own name. Or some other name other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. You're telling me you know me and that you've done all these things for me. I don't know who you are. You have not received the sacrifice that was paid for you. You have not made a decision receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's what it comes down to. And there are a lot of people who are believing lies. There's a lot of lies out there. The Bible says, many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. Come listen to me. I got what you need. And if you just sign on this line here, fill in the number slot, write me a check, you can be saved too. I was watching a TV show the other day, yesterday, I think. You ever watch that Treehouse show? I don't know what the name of it is, but man, that is really cool stuff. I want a tree with a big old house in it, and it's nicer than the one I got. That is really cool. And so he was commissioned, if you will, to build this treehouse for an author, okay? And the author, maybe you saw it, was some sort of into spiritual stuff. How many of you know you can be into spiritual stuff that is not godly? Well, this lady was into the energy of the trees and the energy of the ground and the surrounding pasture, and there was bad juju there. Bad energy. And so she brought in this, I don't even know what she called, and this lady proceeded to do all these things, and she's walking around the ground clapping like this, and she's got a bunch of little bells she's ringing, and scaring off the bad juju, and I'm thinking to myself, and of course the guy, I don't know where he stands, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he ended up joining in and is just doing, okay, whatever you want. How many of you know that unless you know the Word of God and have it in your heart, you'll do just about anything? Because you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything. Did you ever hear that country song? Yeah? If you don't believe in anything, you'll fall for everything, you know? It's like, and so he's just going along with it. He's going, you know. And she ended up clearing this section down underneath the tree where above it was going to be this great tree house, you know? And in come the workers, and he's telling them this, and they're like, okay, you know? Wow. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many other people, I was actually wondering about my own children, because there are certain times at work or whatever things that you're doing will lead you to places like that where other people are like that, and they just want you to be involved. Hey, come on in. We're going to do this thing. And I was trying to think of how I would handle that situation. And I've come to the point to where I'm not so worried about what people think anymore, you know? And that kind of comes when you have a confidence of who you are in Christ. That's where that comes from. When you know who you are in Christ, you're not afraid when other people come against you and say otherwise. And so I was trying to think of how I would handle that situation and how my children would handle that situation. Would they have enough guts, intestinal fortitude, if you will, to say no? That is against everything that I believe in. Because, friends, opportunities like that will come. And it's more and more and more these days. And you'll hear people talk about the energy of this and that. And man, I'm telling you what, that's demonic stuff. That's demonic stuff. They're not talking about the Holy Spirit. They're talking about demonic spirits. And they'll say, no, these are good spirits. These are good spirits. Friends, I don't care how good you say it is. If it's not of the Lord, it ain't good. And all that those spirits are going to do is to suck you in so that they can dry you out. Do you understand that? I've had people talk to me and they say that, well, I see this certain, I'm not going to go really into detail here, but I see this certain figure sometimes where when I go places. And I said, well, what, you know, what's the deal with that figure? Oh, it just kind of follows me around. And I said, well, what's it do? Well, not really anything, just kind of looks at me. I said, well, how do you feel about that? Well, it kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but it's okay, I like it. Yeah. And so what that does is that's sucking the person in, because it's neutral, okay? So if it's neutral, it's okay, right? It's not hurting me. It's not hurting anybody else. So there's the foot in the door. And then after that, what happens is they begin to, certain spiritual things begin to happen in and around these people. And pretty soon, they're scared. They're scared. They're scared to death. And pretty soon they're hearing things in their houses, and when they're driving, different things are happening, and they're hooked. Because once that fear sets in, then you're looking for it. Then you're looking for it, and that's where the hook's in. And the enemy has got you when at first it seems so nice. It was fine. The Bible says the enemy can disguise himself as an angel of what? Light. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the enemy comes but to what? kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't have anything good for you. Nothing good for you. All he wants to do is to rip your life apart. That's his intentions for you. And the only way that he can do that is to get his foot in the door and do something where you'll accept him because he's neutral and not hurting anything, and pretty soon he's got you. And there are so many people that are involved in things that are not godly. That are not godly. You know, it's not enough for us to be positive. You know, I like to be positive. It bothers me when I'm around, you know, people that are extremely negative. When I was working, you know, different places, there would be negative people, you know, and prisons were like that a lot, I think, when I was working filling machines for Pepsi at the prisons. A lot of negativity there, both from the correctional officers and from the inmates. And when I would leave there, I would feel like, oh my God, you could feel that depression like weighing you down. I feel like I have to go take a shower or something, you know what I mean? Get that off of me. But it's not enough to be positive, because positivity is not really going to affect anybody for the long term, okay? It's not enough for us to be nice to people or caring or giving to people, though all those things are good. This world needs Jesus. This world needs the truth, because they have no foundation if their house is not built on the Lord. We learned last week about the scripture that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. It doesn't matter how hard they try, how good they get, their foundation is crumbling. Being kind to somebody when they need Jesus is like having a friend drowning in a river in the rapids, okay? And instead of throwing them a lifeline or diving in to save them or finding some way to get them help, you're shouting from the sidelines, "Hold on! It's going to get better!" And all you're doing is just saying, goodbye. It's going to get better. Really. I know the truth. And yet I refuse to tell you what the truth is. The Bible says, what is it, John 8:32? And you will know what? The truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth, friends? Jesus. I was talking to a lady, I think I told you this. This is probably about a year ago, in the waiting room in a hospital. And she was Chinese, and she was telling me, we just got to talking, struck up a conversation. She was telling me that she was Buddhist. And so I just began to ask her questions, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know where to go here. I got nowhere to go. And so she's just telling me about, you know, her Buddhist religion. And so I said, well, what kind of relationship do you have with Buddha? And she just stopped and looked at me like I was from Mars. What do you mean? I said, well, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have personal relationship with him. What is it like for you? Well, it's not really like that. We kind of go and we go to this place. Well, we really don't even have a place to go. We just kind of do it. We say a prayer so many times a day. And so what is your relationship with the one you're praying to? She said, well, there really isn't any. I said, okay. And so, you know, I had to go, and then a few minutes later, I came back, and she was still there. And she began to ask me what I did. I said, well, I'm a pastor. She said, okay, where do you pastor? I told her. And I said, you know what? I can't remember her name now. But I said, I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that you find the truth. Is that okay? She said, yeah. Because really, that's what it's all about, right? If we're seeking, if we're serving somebody, we want the truth, don't we? Because if you're not seeking the truth, what do you got? You got a bunch of lies. You got nothing. If what you're doing is not based on truth, it's all a mess. Our friends and our families need the truth. The time for wimpy Christianity is over. The time for being docile and passive about your Christianity, about your faith, is over. Do you notice the great chasm? Now, there used to be between good and evil some sort of gray areas, you know, at one point, and you kind of get close to the line, and the line's a little bit morphing and changing a little bit. But do you see now the separation between good and evil and all those middle ground? That's gone. Okay, even in our government, we see that. There is no agreement. Why? Why is there no agreement? Because some are evil and some are good. Now, I'm not saying all from each side is what and whatever. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not here to be giving political speeches. That's not my intention. My intention is to draw your attention to the chasm now that is there between good and evil. And everybody's digging their heels in. I'm not moving on my side, and I'm not moving on my side. Do you notice that? In Revelations 22:11, would you turn there with me? Been a little bit since we've been in Revelation, a little while. Revelation, what is it? 22:11. I want to draw your attention to something here. I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near." In verse 11, "Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile, evil, continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy." Friends, this is happening right now. Right now. The two sides have made their choices, and there is no middle ground. What fellowship does light have with what? Interesting. How about that? What fellowship does light have with darkness? In a sense, they've made their decision, and they're sticking to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you with me this morning? You got any amens out there? Amen. All right, I'm just checking. I'm just checking here. 2 Timothy. My hands are sticking to everything here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want to read this to you. If you will just relax for a moment. If you have it, read along. Because I want, it's important for you to see this with your own eyes, to hear it with your own ears, okay? Because you can be led astray by pastors, people who call themselves representatives of God. So it's important for you to know yourself. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. This guy's on a rant. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he finishes, have nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. This lady that was cleansing the land of this evil energy. I don't know how evil can cast out evil. A house divided against itself will fall. Remember when they were accusing Jesus? He casts out demons by the king of demons. Jesus knew better. We know better. We know better. We know where the power comes from. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. Let's continue to read. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed, listen, swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the what? The truth. Never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. It's as if people are blinded. I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is they don't want to be accountable to anyone. That's human nature. We don't want to have to be accountable to a holy God, because it exposes our what? Our sin. Let's continue. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. And again he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Friends, are you convinced of the truth that we are hearing today? Are you convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Are you convinced the blood of that Son of God, Jesus Christ, washes us clean and white as snow? Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is what? God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the what? So that The man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, meaning people of God, be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of all his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Okay? Can you take a message for me? Preach the word, be prepared in season and out. That's a little tough. That takes effort on our parts, doesn't it? Because we got to be ready. How many of you know that most of the time when you're least expecting it, the opportunity comes to share the gospel of Jesus? It is my prayer every day that when I open my mouth, the word of God comes naturally. I don't have to coax it. I don't want to have to work it all up. I want it there as soon as my mouth is open. And I pray that as Holy Scriptures, life-giving water from the Holy Spirit emits from me the moment I open my mouth. And I pray that for you. You know why? Because people need it. People need the truth from you. Well, you say, I'm not good, man. I still do this. I still do that. I don't measure up. Welcome to the family, my, you know, that's the way it is. None of us are worthy. None of us deserve it. None of us are perfect. That's why we need Jesus. Do you get it? Because they don't. They don't get it. They need to hear it from you. And they'll say, oh, so you're one of those Christians. You're Mr. Holier Than Thou. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry if I've made you feel that way. That was not my intent, because I know how guilty I am. And that's why I need my Jesus. And so do you. Hallelujah. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. Not one of my great attributes. And careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We're here right now. People don't want sound doctrine. Why? Instead, to suit their own evil desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I don't want to hear something about God demanding holiness from me. I don't want to hear something about me needing to be forgiven for what I've done. I don't believe in sin. I don't believe in God. There. What do you think of that? Whether or not you believe in God does not change the fact that you need a Savior. Yeah. Believe it or not, I have atheist friends. Well, I don't believe in God. Well, that's nice. That don't change the facts, friend. That don't change the fact that he loves you. That don't change the fact that he gave his only son for you so that you could be free from your unbelief right now. They will turn their ears, verse 4, away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Myths rather than believing the truth. Why would you do that? Why? Turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. My family hears that from me a lot. Keep your head. Yes, Dad, I get it. Keep your head. In an emergency, you can lose your head really quick. When you're fearful, you can lose your head really quick. When you are persecuted, you can lose it really quick because you're afraid. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist do? He goes around spreading the word. Very simple. Wherever you go, speak the word, man. Discharge all of the duties of your ministry. That means whatever it takes to do your ministry, do it. Do it. Be confident. Friends, the world needs the truth. I'm going to close in prayer today. Sue, I wonder if I can get you to come to the piano. Praise team can come up if they like. Would you stand with me today? I want to give you an opportunity. Have you ever thought of the fact that God needs you? He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Why does he need me? He needs you to carry the truth wherever you go. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the word of truth is the word of God. The message of the cross. The gospel, the good news. Rightly dividing means showing the difference between what's truth and what's lie. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's a lot of religion out there today, and religion isn't a bad word. Religion is good, except for the circus the church has made of it. Okay? So religion itself is not bad. Religion is good. It's just what we've made of it is kind of a mess. Okay? And there's a lot of religions out there that are intermingling myths with truth. And they'll put a little bit in there, just enough to make it believable so that the enemy can get his foothold in the door and get his claws around you. It is extremely important in light of the things that we're talking about today that the scriptures be in our hearts and in our minds. Extremely important that we adhere to the word of God, that we're very careful to be obedient to everything that the word of God teaches. Not me, not what I teach, the word of God teaches. God, forgive me if anything ever comes out of my mouth that is not from this word. That's why you need to know this word of God. That's why the world needs the truth. I want to pray with you today. I want to give you an opportunity to come. Spirit, Holy Spirit has been speaking to you today. Maybe you've strayed from the truth a little bit. Maybe you've believed some of those lies. Maybe you have family members, loved ones that are lost and are way off in left field and have strayed from the truth and are believing myths, as the Bible was saying. Come, bring them to the altar. Bring them before the Lord your God. Bring your needs before the Lord your God and pray today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would bless the people that are here today. I pray that you would bless them as they go back to their homes and their families, their houses, the workplaces, wherever they may be, college campuses. I pray that your Holy Spirit, the fire of your Holy Spirit, would be inside of us and would burn inside of us, and that we would see the lost through your eyes with love and compassion. And God, give us a boldness, not a spirit of timidity or fear, as it says in your word, but a spirit of love and sound power and sound mind, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I love y'all. I'm proud of you. God bless y'all. I'll see you next week.